It says in verse 11, and Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people, and they went to the Valley of Salt and smote the children of Seir 10,000. So they were able to, with their 300,000 force, go to the Valley of Salt and destroy and smite the children of Seir and their 10,000. And other 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive. That means 10,000 of them they smote, 10,000 of them they left them alive and carried them away captivity. Carried them away captive and brought them to the top of the rock. Can you imagine being in that military with the children of Seir and you're outnumbered 300 to 20? That's kind of what the odds were, 300,000 versus 20,000. All right. You're outnumbered 300 to 20, and you're in the group that's being taken captive. I imagine your arms are tied, your weapons and armor are taken from you. You know how they have one of those shows, they have the long rope or cord or chain, and everybody's chained to it, and they're walking, you know, and then everything like that. And you're led to the top of a mountain. You're like, well, why are they taking us up here? Because what do you expect in that position that you're in? What do you expect?
You might expect to be a slave, you know, to be captive, you know, to be a hostage and then maybe put in slavery to work for them. Mm-hmm.
Now that is the goal of that enemy. Go ahead.
Or possibly be put to death. You don't know.
I think that would probably be in the back of your mind too, especially in this day and time. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got you chained up. They've taken away your defenses and your arms to make war. You're being led, but then you're being led to the top of a mountain. And it says here, the other 10,000 left alive to the children of Judah. They carried them away captive and brought them to the top of the rock and cast them down from the top of the rock, that they were broken in pieces.
So like off a cliff.
Yeah.
But you might have been thinking, if since they didn't kill you on the spot, that maybe you were going to survive. And I said, oh, no.
There's a word for that. Cruel.
That's and unusual.
Cruel and unusual. Can or does God use cruel? Does he use the cruelty of men to put his plan forward?
Evidently, yeah. Yeah.
It's right here.
He doesn't make them cruel, but he uses them.
Exactly. He used the cruelty of King Amaziah here to take care of these Edomites that were defeated. All right. It was part of a plan that led to what God was going to do later. Mm-hmm. He used the cruelty and the 400 years of slavery of that the Egyptians had over the Israelites in order to show his power to the world, and all the way to the days of from the Moses day all the way through to the New Testament, the nations around Egypt knew the God of Israel.
Right.
They knew who that was. They weren't playing around about, oh, we know that God. Even those that attacked Israel usually attacked when Israel was not in favor with God. And God would let them attack, but it's not as if everybody didn't know who that God was.
Okay.
All right. And so when King Amaziah and his 300,000, they defeat Edom, they throw 20,000 Edomites to their 10,000 to their death, and then another 10,000 off a cliff. We look at verse 13, and one thing that God, there's a saying that nature abhors a vacuum. Well, God always brings things into balance. He always brings the balance back. And how, after the destruction of the children of Edom, the Edomites, how did God bring everything back into balance here? What was one of the things that he did? The hint is for those 13. Following along, verse 13. Yeah.
I didn't think of that as being brought into balance, but when the soldiers that he sent home and like you said, they missed out on the spoils and all the looting that they would have been, you know, able to do. And it also could be thinking, well, they get to do it. Now his people get it, Judah gets to do it. And we don't get the plunder, we don't get the spoils and so forth. So they go to the cities of Judah and smote them. And took their plunder from them.
Wow.
And these are the people they're supposed to have been fighting with.
These are the people that still have Amaziah's silver clanking in their pockets.
Mm-hmm.
They've still been paid by the people they are now plundering.
Yeah.
In verse 13, Amaziah's cruelty bites him in the butt. Yeah, he did what God said to send the Israelites away. Could it be the way that they were sent away? Could it be maybe the attitude of the person giving the news? Who knows? The Bible doesn't tell exactly what that transaction was like, what that conversation was like. It just tells us that it happened.
And it also says that God was not with them.
Mm.
So that's the main reason why they were sent back.
Mm-hmm.
And so this may be an example of, or this may be the reason why. You look and see what's in them.
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say how loyal they're going to be to you after they get what they want? You're talking about working alongside them while they may be plotting to take you out too.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know. That's speculation. But their actions shows that that's in them.
And, yeah. And looking at this, exactly what you said, that's exactly what I would say. Amaziah is now seeing the people that he hired.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you said. What's to say that once you're out here, they don't get mad at something else you said, and they decide with their 100,000 to take you on?
Mm-hmm.
But it's telling. 100,000 Israelites, 300,000 Judeans, Jews, 300,000 Jews. And when the 300,000 go to conquer to do the mission that all 400,000 were going to do, that the 100,000 was dismissed from, the 100,000 watching the 300,000 leave, the Israelites watching the Jews leave, decide, you know what? They're going to plunder, we're going to plunder. Let's take this city. It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no defense. It just shows what kind of person. And then,
well, God didn't want you. Buddying up with them in the first place.
Right. Exactly.
And every time they do it, and every time they do it, it causes a problem.
Somebody dies.
You come back after you've done, after you made an alliance with them, or however you want to call it, paid them, hired them, even after you go back and when God tells you, I'm not pleased with them, I'm not going to help you, okay, you go home. But you still made the alliance.
Mm-hmm.
You still did it without God, and you suffered the consequences. Because God, you wouldn't have hired him in the first place. That wouldn't happen.
Right, because you had in your mind how to do it, and God had to send someone to you to tell you, this is not what you need to do. And you may not see right now why, but you're going to see later on why this is not a group that you want to be with.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to mess with them. Because like I said, it could be that they got in the heat of the battle, or maybe they got towards the end of the battle when victory is in hand. And then turn on them, you know, or it could be a plot to, at some point, that doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen unless that's in somebody.
Right.
No, why would an entire group of 100,000 men just all on one accord decide haphazardly to plunder a city of people who you were initially supposed to help?
And these are actually your brothers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's your brother. And
they may have had that in their heart from the beginning.
They killed, it says, fell upon the cities and smote 3,000 of them and took my spoil. So they killed 3,000 people.
That is 1% of the force that left Judah.
Mm-hmm.
300,000 that left Judah. Well, 1% of that number was killed at home. That's almost as many people as, it's less than 1,000 less than the people that died in 9/11 is what what they did when they killed it. It's 3,000 people. It's like 3,000 and some change.
And that also shows you that it's like a retaliation too.
Mm. Yeah,
like retaliation because they, okay, so you gonna tell us we not need it? Okay, we're gonna show you.
They defenses are away.
The very people that left to go fight, those are the cities you bombed and killed those people. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, it's like a retaliation too. And people that have that retaliation spirit, you know, God said, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. You evidently, that's not something that's in your vocabulary here. Right. You don't care about that. You want to take it in your own hands and you decide, okay, I'm going to show you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to plunder your cities.
That's the mentality. And part of it was the fact that their military force was out.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, well, what's to stop us from doing it? You know, that, and that goes to what I was saying before, a question I would ask folks if, you know, I mentioned in a Sunday school, if you could get away with any particular crime, robbing a bank or killing a person, mm-hmm. and the law couldn't come and take you away, even with you acknowledging it and all evidence points to you, even if they watch you do it, they cannot do anything about you doing that. If there was something like that that you can do and get away with, would you still do it? And the answer for them is yes.
Yeah. Sure.
The defenses are away. What's to keep you from attacking? The fact that there's an army there. That means they wasn't with you from the beginning. Mm-hmm. They don't look at you as brothers. Yeah. Air and opportunity, that's all it took. Your defense is gone. Well, we're going to go in here and you got paid. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just the money. It's like, we're here, we're going to kill somebody.
And we're going to take some stuff. And who are you, King, to tell us that God's not with us? Mm-hmm. Who do you think? Moses, you take too much on yourself.
Yeah. That's the thing that gets me. Mm-hmm. He did not tell them. The Bible doesn't show that where he told them the reason they were sent back. Mm-hmm. Just said, okay, we don't need you. Oh, wait a minute. Just like that?
So you really do think you're better than us.
Yeah.
Strength in numbers, I show you.
Open the door for the enemy. For the devil to come in. Mm-hmm. And you know, you get in yourself, you get in your feelings, now you're feeling like, oh, you think you're better than me and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Where is that from?
Sometimes it's to open the door to let the devil in. Sometimes it's the devil opening the door to show that he's already there. He's answering the door.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the devil's like a vampire. He can't come in unless he's invited. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. There was so much corruption and evil and devil in Israel. Mm-hmm. God didn't even want a weak king like Amaziah, somebody who was not doing his will, who was not, he was 20 and 70. He did that was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart, is how the chapter starts. And God did not want King Amaziah hooking up with the remnants of King Ahab's kingdom.
Because he wasn't strong enough.
He wasn't strong enough. He certainly wasn't. And as soon as it came to pass when the kingdom, verse 3, was established to him that he slew his servants that had killed the king, his father. But he slew not the children. He didn't do all stuff, you know, children don't take the punishment for the father's action. So he did something in the sight of that was right and by the law of Moses. But he still did the other stuff, not with a perfect heart toward God. He wasn't doing this to preserve God's kingdom. It wasn't to keep to avenge for God. No, it just says he slew the guy that killed his father.
And it also shows that you can obey without having a heart to obey. You know, people obey for different reasons. Sometimes they obey because they're scared. But do you have a heart that wants to obey God? I want to see what God says. Those that do usually seek God first because they want his will. But there are people that obey, like he did, but he didn't show that he obeyed because he wanted to please God.
Right.
So God can be with me. Oh, well. It's like saying, okay, you do this, God ain't going to be with you, you're going to lose. Okay, so I'll do this. so I won't lose. That's not saying I'm doing this because I want to please God. I want to do it God's way. I want to be obedient. And that's what I think it says when he says he didn't do it with a perfect heart. He did some things, but he didn't do it he didn't do it to please God. His heart wasn't toward God to please God, to be obedient. He just did some things.
You remember when we started Samuel, we were saying we could look at God's thought. We can see God's thoughts and the hearts of men by the actions and God's reaction to them.
Mm-hmm.
You can see here the result forming of this obedience without a perfect heart. You see here it says that he did that what's right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. And people may say, this is the same thing that comes, the same question that came to me when I was a youngster about Judas. All right, somebody had to betray Jesus, you know, and it just fell on Judas. I thought as a kid, that's not fair. Judas might have repented. Judas might have done this. Judas might have. Why is God so mean to Judas? You know, it's not fair to Judas. And this is the thoughts of a kid. And you look at Amaziah. He did what was right. I mean, he killed the people that had killed his father. He sent away the soldiers that God said sent away. Why didn't God just stand up for him? And the answer is right there. Can anybody tell me how God stood up for Amaziah? Related to, and you can say it's related to, how Amaziah's obedience, God showed his appreciation for that through something. He did something. Goodness, the question is not coming out right. So we'll just say it and move on.
Well, he did win.
What was his the mercy to Amaziah for being obedient to God? Was there some mercy to Amaziah?
Oh.
And I see what you're saying about he did win.
He did win
mm-hmm.
when he went out in the battle. Mm-hmm. He did win. And
I'll give you a hint. It's in verse, the one that I'm looking for. It's not the only thing that God did, but the one that I was looking for is in verse 7.
Oh.
Well, he sent the man of God.
Exactly.
Yeah, he sent the man of God.
He gave him a warning.
Yeah.
He didn't leave him out there by. He didn't. God did not leave Amaziah out there by himself to make the wrong decision on it. Even though he wasn't obeying Amaziah obeying God with a perfect heart, God still sent his man to warn him.
He wasn't even seeking God.
Exactly.
So that was mercy. He didn't even seek God's will in this situation and know what God wanted to do. But the mercy was that he sent him a warning anyway. So so you didn't seek my will. Let me tell you what my will is.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not happy with these people. Don't go into battle with them. Send them home. I'm not doing anything for them. You buddy up with them. I'm not doing this like with you. You know, people tell you, you know, you run with the wolves, you learn the howl.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get with them. Don't get with the wrong crowd. It's going to affect you. So he's telling them, no, don't get with them. That was mercy. Because he said, I'm not going to do anything for them. I'm not going to help you with them. You know, they're not going to be a help to you. I can help you.
And just like we said about the soldiers, what was in them showed up later on.
Mm-hmm.
This is why God wasn't with them. This is why,
mm-hmm.
or this is the proof that God is not with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have any regard for him. And mm-hmm. even with King Amaziah, I don't know if we'll be able to get into that part.
Mm-hmm.
But even with him, it shows later on why God mm-hmm. said what he said about him. Like, you're doing all the things. And that's one of the things that throws a lot of us off. I did this. And that's what's going to throw people off in the last day when he talks about people who stand before God. But I did this in your name. I did that in your name. I healed the sick. I prayed for folks. I watched them come out of what it was that they were in. You know, we laid hand on the sick and they recovered. I know you was using me, but I don't know you. That seems so harsh until you see what it was that you were really trying to gain. You didn't want a relationship with him. You wanted notoriety. You didn't want a relationship with him.
Why?
You right. It's the why. It's the cause. Why were you doing it? And who? That's another thing. You got the what, folks? You got the why, folks? But then it comes down to who. Who are you doing it for? Mm-hmm. You can do all those things and it be all for self-gain. Mm-hmm. And God is not happy with you. He's still going to bless them because they believe. Yeah. He's still going to rain on them because he's just. But you're going to have to deal with something because of why you're doing it and who you're doing it for. Mm-hmm. And you'll have your reward. Big prayers and all of that stuff to be seen. Okay, you got your reward. People's adoration, and watch what they do with it. They'll hold you up one day and say, that's old, and move on. That's what they do in entertainment. Mm-hmm. They'll hold a person up so much. I use the example of Richard Pryor because when he died alone. But because he couldn't make folks laugh anymore, he couldn't physically do it. Mm-hmm. But there was a disowning almost. Because he can't get up on the stage no more. He's not of any use to us anymore. So we just put him off and say, okay, well, we got some more people that's making us laugh. Make us laugh. And forget about him. Yeah, dance. Dance for us. Tell us jokes. Entertain us as we sit on our throne. Do something for us. And they die broken. Even when you're at the top, doesn't guarantee anything, because look at Robin Williams. Depression. How?
Yeah.
How are you depressed? Because something's not being given. You got money? They got money. It ain't about the money. It's about where do you stand? And something in them just wasn't right. And God said, okay, wait. Before you go any further, send them home. I'm not with them. All right, we'll send them home then.
Here's a matching.
So he sent them home like he was instructed to. But that didn't mean that he believed God.
Amen.
Because he also did all this other stuff that was right in the sight of God. But God didn't have his heart. So he's mastered the art of rule following. But he never gave God his heart. So that'll unfold later.
No, anybody with any sense is not going to come up against God. If God say, okay, I'm against you. All right. That don't mean you respect God. Doesn't mean you revere God. Doesn't mean you reverence God. It just means you figure you can't win. So, you know, okay. So these guys say, yeah, I'm not going to be with you if you don't. Okay. So what I got to do with you to be with them? That's like a,
that's okay, what you do.
Send them home. Okay. I want to win. So if I ain't going to win, that doesn't mean
right.
You're trying to please God. You know, it's still about you.